9, United States versus Yildiz. Ms. Christensen.
Please, the court, counsel. Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Joanna Christensen, and I represent the appellant, Mr. Yugur Yildiz, in this case. Mr. Yildiz's sentence of 90 months is unreasonable and significantly greater than necessary, where it was substantially based on uncharged, unrelated conduct rather than the offense of conviction. Mr. Yildiz pled guilty to one count of exporting firearms without a license, although one wouldn't know it from reading the record in this case. This case was primarily based at sentencing on prior misconduct of Mr. Yildiz, not on necessarily the firearms offense for which he was convicted. The two classes of evidence that were challenging that the district court considered are the controlled substance offenses regarding to the Vicodin tablets, and then the misrepresentations on immigration forms.
Do the guidelines have any direct provisions for unrelated conduct of that sort?
The guidelines provide for prior similar adult conduct. They don't have any provisions for unrelated conduct necessarily. The 4A1.3E is the section that relates to prior conduct that doesn't necessarily result in conviction. So in this case, and the government has cited several cases that relate to this, that the can be prior, which it is in this case, similar, which it is not, and adult criminal convictions. Part of the conduct that the government has alleged that Mr. Yildiz participated in occurred from the time he was 12 years old, which was in the mid-1980s, until the present time. They say it's continuing, although he has been admitted as a citizen to this country in 2003 without any problems from immigration. And it's for that reason that we believe that even though Booker gave the district courts more discretion in sentencing, that Booker was also intended to tie sentencing closer to the Sixth Amendment and to comport with the Sixth Amendment. This turns Booker on its head, where the Sixth Amendment becomes completely irrelevant once the government secured one conviction for one crime. It allows the government to simply charge and convict on one crime and then bring everything else that the defendant has ever done, ever thought about doing, ever been alleged to have done from the time he was 12 or even younger.
Probably not what he thought about doing.
Well, Your Honor, I've cited a case from the Tenth Circuit, which was the United States versus Allen case, which does take it to that level, which was based on some stories and such that the defendant in that case had considered that were stories of criminality, and they weren't anything that he had done. It was things that he had talked about and thought about. So we're certainly hoping it won't go that far again.
That's not what's at issue here. No, we've got evidence that was submitted about his involvement in this pharmaceutical ring.
Correct.
As well as the immigration fraud. So
correct.
We don't have thought crimes.
Not yet, no.
Okay.
And it was evidence, although as I've indicated in the brief and was argued extensively at sentencing, the evidence was not that would lead a court necessarily to convict Mr. Yildiz of these crimes. It was based on affidavits and interviews from two witnesses in the drug possession case, and then a series of documents filed from immigration and theories by immigration agents that the documents were in some ways fraudulent. Of course, none of this was considering the fact that, as I said, Mr. Yildiz is an American citizen now, has been since 2003 without any questions. So it brings on this idea that we're not only trying something in a sentencing hearing for something he hasn't been convicted of, but we're also trying something that's a different, complete branch of government that's already granted him citizenship status.
So, yes, I understand that you're making both a categorical argument and a sufficiency argument. Is that right? Okay.
Yes. The evidence was argued as insufficient at sentencing, and we're continuing that argument now, and now also that it should not have been considered at all. It should not have been brought in the realm of evidence.
You say there's absolutely nothing in the guidelines that says anything pro or con about unrelated criminal matters?
Well, Your Honor, not to my
criminal matters.
Knowledge, but I could be wrong.
It seems like a rather strange omission to me.
The sections that certainly were focused on in this case were the prior adult-related conduct, and certainly the criminal history categories would be not related conduct, but those are convictions. So those are often unrelated. Sometimes they're related. Sometimes they're in the same vein, but they're often unrelated. But as far as uncharged, convicted conduct, I'm not aware of anything that specifically addresses it. And, of course, this argument is not necessarily under the guidelines, although the district court did structure her sentencing under the guidelines structure, but relied, as the government has argued, on the provisions in 3553A about offender characteristics. Our argument is this takes 3553A too far and allows, again, the court to essentially convict and sentence someone on charges that have never been brought and never been proven, not subject to, and the evidence not subject to cross-examination. In essence, you know, the district courts have latitude after Booker to consider offender characteristics. However, there needs to be a line between offender characteristics and the district courts holding trials on charges that were never brought before them at sentencing hearings. In this case, the government put on a show to secure what it wanted, which was a higher sentence for Mr. Yildiz, because it had perceived him as doing all of these things wrong, where it could only achieve a conviction on one count of a weapons-related offense. Unless the court has further questions, I'll reserve the remainder of my time.
This sentence is just under 3 years above the top of the range. Is that right?
Above the top of the range. It's double the bottom of the range, which was 46 months. Nearly double.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Mecklenburg.
May it please the court, my name is Sherry Mecklenburg on behalf of the United States. The district court did not abuse its discretion in this case in sentencing the defendant to 90 months imprisonment. The district court imposed a reasonable sentence, which was grounded in the Section 3553A factors. The court also provided an adequate explanation consistent with Section 3553A as to why this sentence was appropriate for this defendant. In addition, although the uncharged conduct served as a basis for a modest increase in the defendant's criminal history category, from criminal history category 1 to category 2, the district court's extensive remarks at sentencing make it clear that the driving force behind this sentence were the nature and circumstances of the offense of conviction, specifically the sheer number of guns involved in the defendant's gun trafficking offense, which amounted to an excess of 200 guns, which the defendant admitted to, and also the district court relied upon the evidence that the defendant had disposed of these firearms in a manner in which he knew or should have known that these firearms would be used for criminal and illegal purposes. The only factual issue, Your Honors, that I would address up here is that defense has raised the issue as to whether the uncharged conduct went back to juvenile behavior, and I would just like to clarify that the immigration petition was filed in 2002, and that was when the defendant was 29 years old, and that is the petition that we are alleging at the sentencing that we proved by a preponderance that the sentencing was contained false information.
What was the precise basis that the judge used the immigration fraud and the pharmaceutical importation ring to increase the criminal history category? What was the hook for that?
The basis, Your Honor, is the 3553A factor, which is the history and characteristics of the defendant.
So there was, I mean, this goes to Judge Cudahy's line of questioning here. There isn't any basis in the guidelines for doing that.
Well, we agreed with the calculation of the guidelines, but then aside from the guidelines, we asked for a variance from the guidelines in the sentence based on the 3553A factors. So while I am not aware of something in the guidelines that goes to this, it's a 3553A factor, the history and characteristics of the defendant.
But usually when a court employs Section 3553A factors to impose an above-guideline sentence, it doesn't affect the guidelines calculation or the guidelines range. It doesn't affect the calculation of the offense level or the criminal history, except you're telling us here that the judge used this uncharged and unrelated evidence to increase the criminal history category?
No, Your Honor, I'm sorry if I wasn't clear. Let me clarify. The court correctly calculated the defendant's guidelines at 46 to 57 months. But then in calculating what the court believed was a reasonable sentence under 3553A, the court analogized to the guidelines, which is a proper method, and said that the court stated that...
That doesn't have any direct reference to unrelated conduct,
does it? It has reference, Your Honor, to the history and characteristics of the defendant and the Watts case. In the Watts case, the Supreme Court said...
Well, you're including that as under characteristics of the defendant.
The history and characteristics of the defendant, Your Honor. The conduct that he's done, good and bad, should be considered by the sentencing court under 3161A, and also under the Watts case, which stated that uncharged conduct could be considered under 3553.
Right, but the judge said, after considering this evidence, I'm concluding that the appropriate guideline under my calculation would be 97 to 121 months. That's
in
a recalculation of the guidelines range instead of the imposition of an above-guideline sentence.
Well, what we asked the judge to do was use the guidelines as an analogy for purposes of setting a reasonable sentence. And, in fact, what the judge did is analogized to the criminal history categories and also analogized to the guideline, which would increase 6 levels for the number of guns involved.
And you're saying that's going to be implicit in the totality of the sentencing record, because that's certainly not what it sounds like, at least that portion of the transcript. It sounds like she's recalculating the guidelines.
If you just look at that portion of the transcript, I understand what you're saying, but I think if you look at it in context, you can see that she did calculate the guidelines properly, and then after hearing all the evidence, in imposing a reasonable sentence under 3553A, simply analogized to the guidelines. If you have no further questions, then we would respectfully request that you affirm the district court's sentencing of the defendant. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Christensen.
I'll just address a few points made by the government. As far as we're not challenging the adequacy of the district court's statement. If the evidence that came in was all appropriate evidence, she gave it a very thorough statement. Or we're challenging the fact that she considered evidence that was, in our opinion, not related to the sentencing. Specifically regarding the immigration sentence, on page 14 and 15 of my brief is where I summarize the agent's testimony about that evidence. And it starts with him talking about seeking legal status in 1988, when he was 15 years old, and the story that he told that he had come into the United States when he was 12. It does go back as far as they could go when he first came in the United States, and that's our non-adult related convictions, and certainly that should be off limits, as most juvenile conduct is off limits. And finally, the Watts case...
Are you challenging it as being juvenile or being unrelated?
Well, it's both, Your Honor, kind of covering all our bases. But in addition to being unrelated, it's something that he did when he was 12 years old. And in any sentence...
I'm a little obscure. Specifically, what did he do that was
according
proper?
To according to the government, he is originally from Turkey and immigrated to the United States through Mexico when he was 12 to pick blueberries on a blueberry-picking farm. And then when he was 15, apparently applied for a special agricultural worker status in under immigration law. And unfortunately, immigration law is not my strong suit, but my understanding is he was interviewed at that time, and portions of that story that he gave from the time he was 12 were discredited later on by immigration authorities. And that's part of the case, and it's not the entire case the government presented about immigration, but it's part of the case that they presented before the district court judge and were objecting to their use of this juvenile information against him. And finally, the Watts case that's cited by the government several times is not necessarily does not stand for unrelated conduct. The conduct in that case that was used at sentencing was acquitted conduct. It had been charged contemporaneously with the conviction. There was evidence presented. There was cross-examination, live witnesses, and indictment. And that is not the type of evidence that we're challenging here. This court has upheld the use of acquitted conduct. This takes it a step further, in our view. Unless the court has questions, I will ask the court to remand for resentencing.
Thank you. Our thanks to both counsel. The case is taken under advisement. And Ms. Christensen, you were appointed to represent your client. You have the thanks of the court for your service to your client and the court.